This is Victory House.
Glory, 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 glory. Praise the Lord. All right, let's open our Bibles real quick and just spend some few minutes in the Word of God before we call it quits tonight. Please be reminded that Sunday we are starting a new flow. We are going to be praying 2 hours before service, 8:30 to 10:30. The first 1 hour, we are just going to do you and God business. Amen. The Anna kind of prayer. You will pray your own prayer. Amen. I mean, there will be prayer points when you enter the room where we are praying, but it will be you. Some people will hear my voice. I will shout. I may say some things in English and other things. You may not even hear me saying it, but we'll do that for 1 hour. Then after 1 hour, we'll lead prayers and then people will pray. The reason why we are praying is because we are found from Acts of Apostles that the power behind the move that we saw in the early church was prayer. Prayer was like underneath what was making things move. And some people have rightly said that the book of Acts is really not the Acts of the Apostles, it was the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because if you look at it, you will just see that it was the Holy Spirit showing up everywhere. And in almost every chapter, there was prayer meeting. Almost every chapter. No wonder we saw the move of the Holy Spirit like never before. And God has declared to us that for us locally here, that next year will be the year of the Spirit. So we want to just get ourselves in that zone of prayer. And the God that answers by fire, he will answer your prayers. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So I suggest that you come wear some, if you are a lady, you may need a comfortable shoe as a plus, as an addition to your normal platform shoe. Is it platform they call it? Huh? Platform? Heels? No, I thought there was platform. There's no platform. Okay. I thought there was platform. Because it puts you on a pedestal. Is that what? But just come comfortable. And I think you should also bring something to write on. Because when you ask God, he also tells you stuff. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you and then I will show you. That's the best way to do New Year resolution is what we want to do the next 2 Sundays. People will write things down that is not them writing it down. It's God dictating it to them. And God will do it by himself in the name of Jesus. All right, Matthew 25 to 33. Last week I started talking about the power of the now, and this week I want to continue in that vein and talk about how to harness the now. You can call it how to maximize the now. 25, verse 25. For this reason I say to you. Why is this? Okay, I'm reading New American Standard Bible. I'm like, why is my version different from what? Why do I see something different from what you're saying? Okay, let's read the same thing. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Excuse me. Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon is in all his glory was not arrayed like one of this. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or whither shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Say, I enter
into the realm
of all these things,
being added to me.
So Jesus here was telling us how you can live your best life, how you can have your greatest new year, how you can become the fullness of what God has for you, how you can move from dream to reality, how today can become the best day of your life ever. Jesus was giving us the MO here. And last week I talked about the fact that Jesus said, take no thought. And I took it from the angle of Jesus was talking about thinking. And I admonished us that there were wrong things to think about and that there were right things to think about. I said last week that God was not saying, or Jesus was not saying, don't use your mind. Jesus was not saying, don't use your soul, don't use your mind, don't use your thinking faculty. He was not saying that. In fact, if you read in many other places in scripture, you'll find that God wants you to think. God wants you to be reflective. And especially in a year, when you're finishing a particular year and going into a new year, you need to reflect. You need to think about what is going on. Because just like somebody said, it is stupidity or malady or madness to do the same thing and expect a different result. Sometimes we need to consider our way. There is a word that we normally throw around in church, the word repentance. Repentance really, what repentance means is, I think about what I'm doing, that this is wrong, and I turn. Actually, repentance means to turn. And you don't turn by saying it, you turn when you have done the turning. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
I probably told you this story before, that back in the day when I was still, my wife was still my girlfriend, amen. Glory to God. And then I remember I used to say a lot of sorry, you know, because some of us had learned then that these are the ways to have a very peaceful marriage or peaceful life, you know, with a lady. Learn how to say please. You've heard that before, right? Then learn how to say thank you. So I was very good with those ones. And learn how to say I am sorry. Now many guys don't say that. So I decided myself that my please, thank you, I am sorry, I can even give it in advance. You know, even before I need to say I'm sorry. Or when I need the sorry, I can say I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. So that she can be using the I'm sorry for the future offenses that I will commit. So I think I've said that I'm sorry so many times that there was one time that something happened. And before she even narrated the whole thing that was happening, I said I'm sorry. She said, you are not sorry. She said, you are not sorry. Because if you are sorry, you will not keep doing this. And many of us have come to God like that many times. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And sometimes God is like, this person is not really sorry. Because if he is sorry, he will think and he will change. And that's why many of the times you and I need to use our brain. We need to think. We need to be people that are reflective people. So God was not saying here, don't think. He was just saying, don't think in some particular way. Especially he was saying, don't worry. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. He was saying, do not worry. Because God knew that if there was anything that can mess up the now, it is worry. If there is anything that can strangle the air out of the present, it is worry. Worry is like an oxygen extractor. It will extract the oxygen from the around you. Because you are overthinking, you are worried, you are disturbed, you are thinking of what to wear, what to eat, like Jesus said, how shall you clothe yourself? And God is saying, worry is not good. Why is worry not good? Number one, worry is not good because worry says, look at yesterday that you cannot fix. Worry is always telling us that we should look at yesterday. He's always telling us that look at the back mirror and be driving looking at the back. Have you ever seen anybody doing a good drive like that? Even with all these Tesla and co, you know, that they have auto, what do they call it now? This auto drive kind of thing. Huh? Self-drive, some level of self-driving. Even those guys, I've had many accidents have happened when people thought that because they can program the car to drive by itself, the car will be driving. No, human beings still drive cars. Maybe there's a time that will come that human beings will not need to drive too much. But we are still in that era where human beings, when you want to get from point A to point B, you have to be involved. You can't put it on autopilot. Even the aircraft, when they put it on autopilot, the pilots are still watching it. They don't put it on autopilot and the two pilots will go and sleep. One person can take a nap. I hope one pilot is awake, because if one pilot is not awake, that autopilot can it can go to something else, you know. So what is worry telling you? Worry is saying, look at yesterday. Keep your attention on yesterday. Worry is saying, keep your attention on what happened 10 years ago. Keep your attention on what happened, what somebody said to you, who they called you, what an authority figure called you, a teacher called you, a parent called you, a friend called you. Worry is telling you, keep your mind there. Keep your thinking there. Focus on that. Be thinking about that. Worry is saying, look at the back mirror and get anxious about tomorrow because of yesterday. Worry is always saying, and so that's why God is saying, look, forget about it. Forget about it. If you have come to me, I am the only one that can go to your past and do something about your past. You can't do something about it. You leave the past to me. Even tomorrow, you can't really do anything about tomorrow per se. Tomorrow is still into tomorrow. But today is what I have given to you. Don't let worry steal it away from you. I want you to tell yourself, say, worry will not steal the best of today from me in the name of Jesus. So worry is telling you, fix your eyes on tomorrow, fix your eyes on yesterday, and be anxious about tomorrow that you have not seen, and miss out on today that's a present. Today is a present. Today is a gift. Don't let today be the punishment for yesterday. The way some people are treating today is that they are using today to punish yesterday. They are using their today as a revenge of yesterday. They are using as the devil, they have cooperated with the devil, or they have unwillingly cooperated with the devil to let yesterday be punishing their today. They have allowed the devil. Sometimes they will say, well, you know, when I think about everything, oh, I just feel this sense of guilt. Oh, I just feel this sense of loss. I understand in a little bit that some things that are unpleasant might have happened in the past. I understand in a little bit that some things that you didn't plan for, that look like, why did this happen to me? Why did God allow this? There may be those kind of experiences in your past, but the best thing you can do with that past is to surrender it to Him. I like that song that the worship team guys sang the other time that said, Lord, I depend on you. Lord, I depend on you. What does that mean? That means I lean on you. I lean on you with all my baggage. I lean on you with all everything that I'm bringing from yesterday. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor, or all you that have past, all you that have baggage, all you that have excess luggage. And when you come unto me, let me carry the load. Let me carry the burden. Let me do the load bearing. Let me be the one bearing the load. Let me be the one helping you. Give it to me. Give me yesterday. Give me the hurt. Give me the pain. Give me the problem. Give me whatever happened yesterday, because I can do something about yesterday. Can you somebody say, I give God my yesterday, and I give Him my tomorrow in the name of Jesus. So worry, what worry says is that fix your eyes on yesterday. Another thing that worry says is that be proud. I know some of you don't think of worry like that. Worry says be concerned to the point that you now make yourself God. That's what worry says. Worry, because worry is trying to say you are supposed to be in control. You are supposed to be in charge. But you see, the truth of the matter is that it's another form of pride. Because many of these things, you really can't do anything about it. I said last week, I said, if there's anything you can do to help yourself, is to know what you can control and what you can't control. I'm telling you, if you want to help your life, just know what you can control and what you cannot control. And the things you can't control, or the things that are not your responsibility, leave them to God. Leave them to God. I mentioned some things that were not people's responsibility that people tried to break their neck over. I said one of them is that It's not your responsibility for what people think about you. No, it's not. And you cannot control it. There's nothing you can do about it. Unless you want to be, even if you're a failure, they will still have something to say. So there's nothing you can do about that. And much more, there are other things like that. I mentioned some other things, but I'm not going there tonight. But what you need to understand is that worry is a form of pride. When I get too bothered, when I get too concerned, when I get too, like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? It's like I am putting myself as God. No, I depend on him. I rely on him. It's not a man. It's the one I am leaning on. So I cast my burdens on him. I put my trust in him because he cares for me. So what he's saying, I am proud. So if you catch yourself worrying, remember that what worry is saying is that I am proud. Another thing worry is saying while I move forward is that you can trust the situation more than you can trust in God. Worry sometimes is a trust issue. It's a trust issue. I read a devotional this morning. I usually like to read that devotional. And they were quoting from James chapter 1. They said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, because the trial of your faith is working for you patience. Or trust in God that the present situation is still working for you. That's the reality of that. Trust in God. Trust is not just like believe. Trust is something that comes from, I have been around this place before and I trust it. Trust is what comes. Trust is like the relationship we have with currencies, with money. If you hold a $20, because it's dollars, I know some of us, if we hold the currency of another country, and we put it in our pocket, we are not sure that this thing will not disappoint us. We are not even sure that when we get into, you know, if we keep the money in our pocket for so long, we are not sure that the value will still be the value. We feel like if we don't spend this money quickly, the value will have gone up. But there is something about the dollar. Many people, when they have the dollar, that's why dollar, you know, even petrol, that America just really started exploring in a better quantity than before. Several years ago, America was not an oil-producing country. The petrol is denominated in dollars. I guess somebody was very smart to say, you know what, it's okay. We'll help you keep the money in our currency. And it means a lot. It helps the economy. That's a story for another day. But you see, because American dollars is respected all over the world, it has been tried, and they will use the word trusted, such that when you carry the notes in your pocket, you just have the confidence that when you tender it, it will work, or the value will be useful. The value will not have dropped so drastically that when you tender 20 bucks, they just say, oh, it's only candy you can buy. Because some of us have been to countries, or you might have heard of countries that if you want to buy bread or milk, you'll be doing some thousands of that currency. And then if you now say you want to buy, oh, not just bread or milk, I need to buy a TV. Oh, it's in millions. You know, so you're like, a million? This thing costs 3 million, your currency? So you know that currency, if you keep that 3 million, and you travel for like 3 months, that 3 million maybe just going to buy you bread. So in that kind of system, you cannot trust that kind of thing. But because the American dollar over the years has proven to be useful, has proven to be reliable, so to say, many people trust it. How much more God, ladies and gentlemen? So worry is saying, look, don't trust God. God is like those other currencies, those 3 million to buy bread currency. And the situation is like the dollar. But God is saying, look, I'm much worth more than the dollar. You can trust me. You can rely on me. I want you to use your own mouth to say it this evening. Say, in the name of Jesus, I declare my trust is in the Lord. So worry is saying these things that I have mentioned. But Jesus now tells us, don't let worry take over you. Don't let worry take over you. And there are some vehicles that he used that can help us to overcome worry, that can help us, that will be able to harness the power of the now, will be able to experience the best in the now, because if we give heed to some of these things that he was saying, we'll be able to experience the best in the now. And one of the things he said was this. Look at the lilies in that Matthew 25 to 33. He says, look at the vegetations, look at the plant, look at nature, or look at what has been done. Let what has been done, let it be an inspiration that what is remaining is still possible. Let what has been done, let it be an inspiration to you. So how can I harness the now? Knowing what has been done always helps you to attract what needs to be done. Knowing what can be, or what has been done. You need to look at your life. You know, I talked about the people looking at the past, you know, in such a way that the past is now making them worry. But you can look at the past in such a way that the past is making you to believe that God is able. To believe that God who did it like this, whether it's your own past or the past from scripture, or somebody came and gave a testimony, and you hear that testimony because it's based on the word of God, you believe that the God that is doing that or can do that or has done that, that God is able to do something for you. And I declare it will show up in your favor in the name of Jesus. So I wrote here, I said, use history as a memorial of gratitude, not a monument of limitation. Use history as a memorial of gratitude, not a monument that will now limit you, not a past that will now make you, your heart to be heavy. Use it as a memorial of gratitude. Learn, you can practice it, you can learn it, that you remember more of the things that God has done for you than the things that the devil is doing. It's a matter of focus. You can choose to focus on the one God did for you, on the things that God has made to work, than the things that the devil is trying to make not to work. You can do that. And Jesus said, if you are doing that, you are not going to be worried. You won't be able to do the two at the same time. You cannot be worried and be focusing on what God has done that is good before. No, you can't. And be worried. No, you can't have the two at the same time. So Jesus is saying, if you want to harness the power of the now, you need to know how to use your memory. The memory as a catalyst for gratitude, not as an impediment, not as a statue, not as something that is a stumbling block for you, not as something that won't make you move forward in life. And so if you understand many things that God has done or God has put in the past tense, it helps you a lot. And there are some things that you have not experienced in the present tense, but it has been done in the past tense. In fact, when it comes to everything in our life and working with God, everything has been put in the past. When Jesus said in John 19:30 that it is finished, he brought every of God's promises into the completed state. So when you look at scripture, don't just look at it as something that will happen. Look at it as something that Jesus has completed, that because it has been completed, you bring it into the now and you enforce it on the now. It is not something he will go and complete. So, for example, healing, he has completed it. Healing is something he has finished. The Bible says he himself took our infirmity. And by his stripes, not we are healed or we will be healed. We were healed. I want you to say loud and clear. Say, I declare my healing is a done deal. My prosperity is a done deal. My success is a done deal in the name of Jesus. So Jesus is saying here, if we can know the things that have been done, if we can use the memory as a catalyst, as something that will make faith to well up, as something that will make trust and confidence in God to well up, it's going to help us. Another thing Jesus said here that will help the now, that will help you harness the power of the now, he used the word, don't you know your heavenly Father? He addressed God as Father. Every prophet that had come before Jesus had addressed God as Lord, as God. He was the first person that brought the concept of the fatherhood of God. And if there is anything that can change, revolutionize your life, is to deal with God as Father. The Bible said we don't have the spirit of bondage to fear again, but we have the spirit of adoption whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. Meaning that when I show up to God, I am not showing up to the creator of the ends of the earth. I am not showing up to the one that is controlling the galaxy. I am coming to my Father. And when you come to your Father, many times protocols are broken. Many times rules are broken. Many times things that you may not have qualified for, you can get away with it, because when we talk about Father and Son, it's a different ball game. It's a different ball game. And so Jesus said, don't you know your Heavenly Father? Because Jesus was trying to make them understand that to the plants, God is God. He's not their Father. To the lilies, God is God. To the ant, God is God. He's the creator. But to you, sir, that has given your life to him, he has made you a son. He has made you a daughter. That's why the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, as to many as that believed on him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. And he says, these are the ones that are not even born according to the flesh. You have been made the sons of God, the daughters of God. And you have every right as a son. You have every right as a daughter. You are an heir to the throne. You can enjoy the fullness of what God has now. So you need to be excited about that. So Jesus said this, you can deal with worry. You can enjoy the now. If you understand and you accept that God is your Father, every time you show up at places where you don't know what to do, know that my Father is there. You know, Father is different from boss. Your Father can cover you in a way that your boss can't cover you. Your Father can cover you in a way that a master cannot cover you, because it's your Father. Your Father knows that your failure is also his failure. He knows that when you fail, you've been shamed to the family name. So your Father has vested interest. So when you show up at work, show up as if I am showing up as a daughter of God. Not showing up as somebody that serves God, somebody that goes to church, but somebody that is a daughter, somebody that is a son. It makes a whole lot of difference, especially if you let it sink into you. I am a son. I am a son. I am not a servant. I am a son. Sons get things that servants can't get. Son can walk into their father's room and demand things that are seemingly not supposed to be demanded for, because they are children, because they are sons. So ladies and gentlemen, God is telling us that you need to treat me as and receive me as your Father. If you have given your life to me, look at me as your Father. Relate to me as your Father. Don't relate to me as boss. Don't walk with me as boss. Don't walk with me as creator of the ends of the earth. Walk with me as your Father. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and 32, Romans 8, 32, the Bible says, if God did not spare his only begotten son, and he gave it up for us, he gave it in the lieu that these people that will receive this son, I will make them my children. He says, how can he not together with him give us all things freely? That's what a father does. That's what a father does. That's what a father does. A father goes out of his way. There are many times the child will not know the sacrifice that has gone into whatever the father is doing. But the father will go out of his way. A mother will go out of her way. Because there is a relationship. There is a blood relationship. And ladies and gentlemen, as we are going from 2018 to 2019, please go with the consciousness that God is your Father. God is not your Lord alone. God is not your God alone. God is not your Creator alone. All these things are greater, but God is your Father. That's why when Jesus, they asked him, teach us how to pray. Jesus said, look, you will do well in the school of prayer if you understand this very, very most important basic fact that when you show up before God, don't even use some big, big names of God. Just come before him and say, our Father who art in heaven, I salute you. Good morning, my Father. So when you are going into the place of prayer, talk to God as Father. Relate to God as Father. Talk to him about your past as Father. Talk to him about your guilt as Father. Talk to him about the things that are putting pressure on you as Father. You can talk to him as Father. You see, in the story of the prodigal son, the Bible talked about the prodigal son and there was another son. But many people don't focus on the father. The father is also a prodigal father. And that father is God. That father is God. What does prodigal mean? Prodigal means to be lavish, to be wasteful. God is lavish. His love is crazy. The Bible says in Romans, he says his love is so lavish that he has even poured that love into our own heart. He can't leave it only in his own heart. He has poured the excess of that love into our heart.